All right. Today is Friday, September 11th. Back for another epi. Short for episode. Just made that up. I'm not going to talk about 9/11 today, ironically. Because I just got done scrolling through Facebook and I've seen enough already. And I don't mean any disrespect or ill will towards that whole event. I think I'm a little jaded as to how many people don't realize how shady the official story of 9/11 was, but most people are open to that idea if you mention it. But anyways, what I want to talk about today is what's going to happen this November. During the elections, or before the elections, or after the elections. We have some strange quotes from some left-wingers. Nancy Pelosi said she met with, she called it the continuation of government. I think she misspoke there. She meant the continuity of government, COG for short. It's generals and intelligence and kind of a cog, pun intended, a cog in the wheel of government. And she said that they won't concede the election, and Donald Trump won't want to leave. He'll say that the election was fraudulent, and then they'll have an inauguration somewhere else. And the inauguration doesn't necessarily have to take place at the White House. Because the presidency, this is what she's saying, I'm paraphrasing quite a bit, but the presidency doesn't necessarily exist because of a physical location. So yeah, that's what she said on TV. And then Hillary Clinton said her advice to Joe Biden is, do not concede under any circumstances, because Donald Trump's going to lie and cheat and steal. And she brought up the whole fake Russian canard again and said he'll have Russian help, or the Russians will interfere. And then to back up some of these ideas, going back further into the past, been a couple years now, it was back around the time that was it Sarah Sanders Huckabee, the former White House correspondent, the bigger, thicker gal, the brunette, was kind of mobbed out of a restaurant back around that time, maybe 2 years ago now. Maxine Waters said, you know, publicly with a microphone in her hand and people standing around her, that if you see anybody from that cabinet, you get in their face and you tell them they're not welcome. And she's, you know, trying to whip up the crowd, whip up the mob. And this goes back to what I've said before about whipping up the mob. And then you have quotes from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying, we need to occupy state buildings. We need to occupy Capitol buildings and government buildings in certain states. Okay, so the framework I'm building here, keep in mind everything we've got going on. There's Black Lives Matter riots happening all over the nation. They're being funded by the left-wing agitator George Soros, who overthrows governments with rioters, with funded rioters, with paid rioters. And the Democratic Party currently backs this group, not overtly but tacitly. Out of one side of their mouth they say they lie, they say it's peaceful protesting. On another side of their mouth they say things like the case for rioting, or the case for looting, the case for burning things down, the case for destruction of property. And they justify it saying these buildings have insurance, businesses can be rebuilt. This is a form of reparations for black people. All this garbage. And then out of another side of their mouth, they say it's Trump's fault. Even though the places that are getting attacked in a coordinated way are in Democrat-led areas. So it's a Democrat governor, Democrat mayor, Democrat-led city. So how does all this connect? Well, you could put a blanket statement on it and just say this is a classic communist takeover, or a classic authoritarian takeover, similar to what happened in Soviet Russia, similar to what happened in Cuba. I think the plan here is, well, the Democrats sent out like 80 million ballots in the mail, and they're using public safety and the risk of getting coronavirus as their justification for that. And they say things like, you shouldn't have to risk your health to go out and vote, because voting is a right. So they're so moral. They're just this great moral force for your good. But they know that the United States Postal Service can't handle such a thing. It's an intentional way to gum up the works, to make the election and the counting of the ballots get drawn out. And there's a lot of fraud, potentials for fraud. The Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, talked about this. So this is ripe for fraud. This is perfect opportunity for fraudulent behavior. And Project Veritas has just revealed that a man in New Hampshire voted twice. He was on camera, and he was disguised as a woman the second time he voted. But it's a lot worse than this, because there was, on the Alex Jones show, somebody called in to a show and said it was a woman. Her and her husband live in South Dakota, and they had a ballot mailed to their former residence in Texas, and they hadn't lived there in like 10 years. And whoever got the ballot could just open it up, check Democrat, and mail it. And then there was a case where a ballot was mailed to a family, and it was in the name of a former cat that had died. So there's a lot of harvesting going on of information and names and dead people and whatever. So in the Democrat playbook for this election, they always like tell you what they're doing by saying Trump's doing it, or they tell you what they're doing by saying you're doing it, or whatever. It's called gaslighting. And it's a cause for concern, because the level of destruction that's possible when Trump wins and they whip up the mob is going to be devastating to some of these big cities. And depending on how bad it is, I'm in a safer place, but I hope I don't lose my job, because business slows down, or there's economic hardship, or more governors come out and want to shut their states down for more coronavirus stuff, because we're going into winter and a lot of people are going to get sick, and there's probably going to be a lot more cases of coronavirus, even though there's been false positives and even though the deaths are way down and yada yada yada. And to bring to light a quote from Rahm Emanuel, he was the former mayor of Chicago. If not, he was the former governor of Illinois. I can never remember. But he said, after admitting that the Obamacare plan for healthcare was to totally collapse it, to bring in single payer, he said, never let a good crisis go to waste. So when there's a crisis of any level, think like an opportunist. It's kind of like when there is a hurricane in the ocean bordering states, people go loot stores. Like, that's the mentality for that philosophy. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, I feel that so far this coronavirus scamdemic has been just that. Yeah, this thing can kill people. It's a virus. But it's nothing that we haven't experienced before. You know, SARS, H1N1, swine flu, any of that. They had tons of deaths. But these governors and these mayors and some of these top 1% companies getting government bailouts, and Jeff Bezos literally doubling his net worth because of government bailout, free money. Mom and pop shops being shut down. So I think a lot of people have adopted the mentality of never let a good crisis go to waste. I think it's immoral, especially if you don't speak out against it, or if you had insider information that it was coming, and some people did, because Dr. Fauci said that, I think I have the quote memorized, I don't know how I do that, but he said, this current presidency will experience a surprise pandemic, flu pandemic. So, and they did a drill for it back in November called Event 201, and they talked about a flu virus that was, you know, extra deadly and yada, yada, yada. Don't need to get into all that, but. So, with all these excuses that can be used for fraudulent behavior, criminal behavior, sinful behavior, which isn't the least. I think there's going to be a lot of funny business in 2 months or a month and a half. I think we're going to see real votes for Donald Trump are just off the charts with every demographic. And then Mark Zuckerberg came out and said that what he's going to do and what other media organizations need to do is start pumping the idea that counting all the votes, counting everything for the election, it's normal that it might take a little longer. A couple extra days or a couple extra weeks. Which, by all this left-wing logic, can mean an indefinite amount of time. And the proof of that is we're like 100 and some odd days into 14 days to slow the spread. So a lot of this is just hogwash. It's just absolute hogwash. But there's going to be the election. People are going to vote. It's probably going to be this giant red wave again. But then the Democrats have a backup plan to cry wolf and say, we haven't counted all the votes. We haven't counted all the votes. We're still getting votes in by mail. Which you just have to take their word for it. And they're potentially just going to all be 100% for Joe Biden. So they're going to wait, see how many votes Trump gets, and then they're going to know exactly how many quote-unquote ballots in the mail they need for Joe Biden to win. And then if all of this isn't figured out by January 20th, Nancy Pelosi will be president. She said that too. She said she's third in line. So this is on the territory of coup, or on the territory of soft coup. And it's all just manipulation and craziness. And if Trump, Michelle Obama said, she kind of gave a veiled threat. She said, if you don't vote Biden, things will get a lot worse. And how does she know that? Seriously. How does Michelle Obama know that? What is she talking about? Well, she's talking about the riots, the rioters. This group has like $1 billion of funding. And I think within the last month or two, George Soros just pumped in 200 million more. So what's this guy spending his money on? Why? 200 million bucks? For what? Well, guys like him like to crash currencies. He broke... There's an event called Black Wednesday where he broke the Bank of England. Everything plummeted. And then when it was all dirt cheap for table scraps, you know, he most likely bought everything. And once it all rebounded, he probably made a trillion bucks on that, if I had to guess. So this is what he does. And his justification for that on 60 Minutes in an interview was, if he wasn't doing it, someone would be. So there you go. Same logic would be, well, if I don't rape this woman that's vulnerable, someone else will. So it's okay. So that's kind of the outlook coming up here in a couple months. And I am hopeful. I don't, you know, they can surmise all these plans. But the arm of the Lord always raises up a standard against these people. And I know there's people standing in their way of doing this. I don't know what my personal responsibility towards such a thing would be. So that's why I'm talking about it on a podcast, of which my estimated audience is 9 people. But at least it's going out there in the perturbations of infinite vibration. And, you know, we'll reach listening ears more so eventually, I guess. And it's troubling. We live in troubling times. But a positive of that is, you know, these big cities that are being burnt to a crisp. I've talked about it before in a past podcast, about dichotomies and whatnot. I don't think God really intended people to be stacked on top of each other in a city. So I think a lot of common sense people are going to move out of these cities that are burnt to a crisp. And that'll have some positive and negative effects, because where are they going to go? Well, they're going to go to places where I live, you know, sparsely populated rural areas. But that'll add opportunities for people. And hopefully there isn't just, you know, another building of conglomerate cities, so in 50 years we can all do the same thing, because the media convinces everybody that, you know, one race of people is bad. But those are the benefits I see. You know, the cities that are being burnt down are, you know, left-wing hellscapes. I feel bad for the people who are injured and taken advantage of. And there was a story, a black woman had her business burnt down, and I think the video is she's out there yelling at the mob like, I was just protesting with you guys, and you burned my business down. Well, guess what she's gonna do to change her life? She's gonna second guess everything she was involved in. So that's a benefit. She's gonna restart her life, and hopefully common sense will prevail. But I think this whole thing was done too soon. To use a flu virus as a pretext to take away liberties and freedom and make a lot of people mad and second guess what government agencies or quasi-government agencies or health agencies really can say and do to your personal, private, individual life that's supposed to be guaranteed life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I think that's why a lot of people are flipping red. Flipping to the red side. It's woken a lot of people up, which I think is good overall. So I don't think there's any cause for panic, but I don't think there's any justification to be complacent anymore about what's really going on. I think it's our personal responsibility to get in league with people we trust, you know, have a bug out plan and a backup plan, and have means to take care of yourself and your family, and just let all the BS in your life just kind of fade away, because a lot of it is BS, whatever you're chasing. I'm not saying don't have goals, but I think at the end of the day, if you have a job and you can pay for your stuff and you can go home and hug your wife and kids, you've won, man. You hit the lottery the second time. The first one is if you were born in the USA. It's lottery number one. Opportunity everywhere. Lottery number two is if you're a hardworking person trying to figure it out, you know, and getting your house in perfect order, as Jordan Peterson would say, you're on the right track. Because that's a difficult thing to do, to get your house in order. Everyone wants to disguise their problems with pseudo-morality of thinking they know what's best for society. And I used to fall into that. Knowing the issues, the ins and outs, and being, you know, all up into the pop culture of current events, which is kind of, in a weird way, the new pop culture. First things first is get your house in perfect working order. And the only real way to do that is the Christian way, the outline in the New Testament for that. And it's husband as a covering for his wife and kids, Christ above you, you know, the chain of command, so to speak. That doesn't mean you beat your wife. That doesn't mean you're better than her. It just means you have more responsibilities because she's the weaker vessel physically. You're there to protect and lead, if you're a man. So yeah, first things first, get that figured out. And then I think as that takes course through your life, which is very difficult, God will have other things laid out for you in the future on what to do in your own community or in your own state or whatever. But yeah, that's the waterfront for what's coming up. It's gonna be curious to see how it all plays out and unfolds.